We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, today's date is, well, March 17th, 2024, hour two of the show. We got Ken from Texas here, and we were kind of just talking about porn in Texas, and yeah, what do you think there, Ken? You want to recap where we were going with that?
Oh, yeah, it was just a commentary on how the schools have changed into prisons, basically, and, you know, they take away the guns and give them porn, and, I mean, I can remember when I was young, people driving around with guns in the back of their trucks and all kinds of things like that, and I don't remember any incident whatsoever that ever happened on the news or in person. It's a sad state, you know. They'll take billions and billions and billions of dollars of ours and give it to other countries so they can walk around with weapons and have secure borders, but you know, we can't have them. So it's the irony is huge, and you know, obviously it's because they have an agenda. And you know, I don't know. Sometimes you have to resort to sarcasm because it's hard to try to be funny. You know, it's really not funny anymore.
Yeah. You know, the denial is fascinating. You know, here I think it is, God, I don't want to quote it, but I think it's Llano County. It's a county over from us to the north. And there was a big rue, I believe, over there in Llano County. And one of my customers was telling me how the Llano County people were so crazy, because I have left wingers and right wingers within the spectrum of my my practice of computer repair. And they were sitting there going, "Well, they're trying to ban books." And I'm like, "Well." Yeah, and they're like, and they're saying that there's porn in school. And I'm like, yeah. And she says, there isn't any porn in school. I'm like, have you seen the list of books? And she says, oh, that's just all made up. And I'm kind of like going, oh, really? Yeah, you know, no, they're just out on a limb, and that they're making all that. And I'm kind of like going, okay, because you know, and that's been a couple of years since they did that, and it feels like a couple of years, but that these books about boys being raped by older boys and so forth, or, you know, I'm just going, oh, crap, what is this stuff, and why are they putting it in for under this guise of gender-affirming care? What kind of care is that? You know, what kind of care is that?
How about the parents that go to these school board meetings, and they'll get up in the school board meeting and start reading from one of these books, and the school board stops and says, "You can't read that here." And it's like, "Well, what do you mean? This is what you're giving our children to read." You know?
Yeah.
I remember when I was back in school, the only thing that I ever remember anything in school of anything about sex was when the girls had if you want to call it a sex education class, when they got to be 12 or 13 years old, which was a normal time when a woman would start menstruating, you know, and gain the ability to get pregnant, you know, and they would come in and tell them a little bit about their bodies, you know, at that point in time. Up until then, you know, it was just boys playing with girls, you know. You know, you might play doctor every now and then. It's like, wow, you've got an Audi? Oh, wow, you've got an Innie? Wow, we're different, aren't we? You know, that was about as far as it went, you know.
But, oh, my God. Yeah.
I forgot about the good old Audi and Innie days.
Yeah, that's Alan in the basics.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. Do you guys practice open carry?
I mainly conceal carry. Alan, I think you're always open carry, right?
I open carry, yeah.
Yeah. I mainly, you know, I have a lot of different customers, so I'm running under the premise of always having a firearm on me and trying not to diminish my business because of it. So maybe that's chicken shite, but
it
makes me safer.
Being smart, you know, you have to deal with a lot of different people. You know, you just have to be smart about it. That's totally different than...
We had a huge discussion before Open Carry Texas went through, me and another buddy of mine, about are they actually going to get this passed? And so what are we going to do afterwards? Because I was big on, I don't want to get a permission slip from the Texas government to carry something, right? You know, how do you, that, no bueno. And have you ever seen the Texas process for doing that? You know, they want you to submit to get the permission slip to be a licensed carry holder. And I thought about it a couple times. I don't know about you, Ken. I thought about doing it, but then I can't go that route. And so when they did the permitless carry thing, man, that's great. I can carry. But they're still confusing here. You know, you've got the 30-07, the 30-06 sign. These are signs that... try to bar, technically, I guess they kind of bar you from carrying weapons into grocery stores or other things like that. You know, I find HEB completely offensive, you know, in their firearm policy. Do you have an HEB where you're at there, Ken?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, you're lucky.
I haven't been to one of those in a long time. I've kind of forgotten about them, so I'm pretty sure they're not around here. But I kind of live out in the country, so I don't go into Lubbock very often.
Well, you know,
so you're kind of living by my strategy. If you can, never leave the ranch.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's. You know, there's a lot I could say about that, but, you know, when you start talking about some of it, it makes you look kind of stupid. So I'm hesitant to talk about some of it. But, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't even need a driver's license or anything because they already know where I'm at. Actually... looking forward to the day that I finally get an opportunity to prove that, but at the same time, I'm perfectly glad to not have to go through that. So
you're not egging them on to stop you so you can get into that situation. You're just living your life, and if you want to say, you know, obeying the traffic laws as much as possible, you know, you're not going out there flaunting it, you know, trying to get into trouble so you can go in and prove yourself. You just want to be left alone, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the way it should be. You know, if you're not doing anything wrong, you should be left alone. You know, sticking probes up your rear end looking for terrorists that aren't there is not too pleasant. You know, it's don't need to go through that.
Well, unfortunately, there's, we face a lot of challenges nowadays, and I kind of, you know, at one side, you know, telling you guys earlier on in the show about my friend that's dying, and, you know, I don't know how many days he's going to make it, and so he's long for the days on Earth, and I'm kind of like going, well, shoot, we're in an incredible time. It's neat to see this stuff, and it's painful to see this stuff, but it's also, you're done, so why do I even need to talk to you about it anymore? I guess I don't know. It's kind of strange. I don't even know where I'm going with that.
That's a tough situation to be in because you really don't know what they're doing to him. I mean, him seeing stuff in the corner, could be, you know, some type of MK Ultra type stuff they're doing to them, and it just runs so deep and so wide. All these terrible things they're doing. The poor guy could be totally normal, and it's just all the stuff that they're doing that makes him look loony. Or acne.
Or you know, I don't know this gentleman's. You know, if he's in a lot of pain, I'm sure they're pumping him full of, you know, some pretty heavy opiates, you know, which will, you know, long term usage of heavy opiates, you know, you will start to hallucinate, you know. But you know, if it's keeping him out of pain, you know, I can't say that that's a bad thing, you know. It's all situational.
Yeah,
it's terrible. I had a relative that got cancer, terribly bad cancer, and would get out of the bed and crawl their hands and knees on a carpet and try to eat the carpet like they were, you know, some kind of cow grazing or something. So just the weirdest things happen, and I had to guard my words real carefully and not say the wrong pronouns or whatever there to give that away, but it was terrible. And it's hard to even talk about that stuff because they could do so much. I mean, I've heard of so many great cases of people recovering from stage four cancers using things like as simple as baking soda. And so there there's so many different venues available for curing cancer, not just minimizing it, but absolutely curing it.
Right.
So yeah,
this was like, you know, with I can remember when Laetril, you know, apricot seeds, you know, I forgot what that is, B7 or something like that, you know. And I can remember when they made that, you know, that's just quackery. That
arsenic
doesn't do anything, you know. And you know, and supposedly, you know, Laetril was actually helping people recover from cancer. But, you know, B17, there you go. Yeah, thank you.
Hmm. Well, I didn't know that. Arsenic.
Yeah.
I learned something new.
Once again, low levels, you know. I mean, you know, your body needs so much, you know, I mean, your body needs all these things in very trace amounts, you know, to even survive, you know, these deadly poisons. But once again, in excess, yeah, it can be deadly. You know, hell, oxygen, too much oxygen will kill you. Too much water will kill you, you know?
Yeah, like, you know, the kids that have passed away from doing the water chugging challenges in schools, college kids doing pranks or whatever. But arsenic, that's a new one. I'm going to have to look into that because we have a lot of arsenic in our water around here, so... quite interesting.
Hey, Ken. Hey, before you go, question. Do you know anybody over at the Panhandle with any ranchers up there? Because I had a report from a buddy of mine who's got, well, his friends up in the Panhandle had some very disturbing information from up there. You know anybody up there? Any ranchers?
Only what I've heard about in terms of what happened to the cattle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A lot of them had their hoofs burnt and had their udders burnt and things like that. They had to be put down.
Yeah.
It's pretty terrible. But it's hard to really know what the truth is because, as I've said on some other shows, you know, I graduated from the school's skepticism to the school cynicism. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just took all the cattle and shipped them off to China and then had this big fire thing to, you know, make up for that excuse for where they all went. Because everything they do is profit motivated while they're raping you. They want to profit from it. And so it wouldn't surprise me if that's what was done. But, you know, you have to have a good cover story. And so some of that, I'm sure, is true. It's big country, and, you know, it'd been next to near impossible to go out and round up all your cattle over such vast expanses.
And you know, to go along with this, you know, I just got my latest Texas Agriculture magazine, you know, Right here on the front, it says smallest U.S. cattle herd in 70 years. You know.
Well, yeah, and then
food,
that's the
diminishing
other thing
food stocks and food supplies. Yeah, you know,
right.
They've been doing that for quite a while.
Is gone, and a lot
you
of
know,
the hay got burned
I got
up
a,
as well.
I got a phone call from a customer of mine this last week, and he was talking about his buddy that was up in the Panhandle, and he asked him, he said, is there anything you need? Can I help you with something? And he said, well, send bullets. And then he goes, what? He says, yeah, I've already gone through 2,500 rounds killing cows that got burned. And we're low on bullets. And it's kind of like going, whoa. And that kind of brought it home. So somebody's telling the truth or lying in there, right? Or there's a miscommunication. Is somebody, you know, is my customer lying? Oh, I'm pretty sure he's not. Is his buddy lying? Exaggerating? Telling the truth? You know, where's the disconnect? That's one, you know, I don't know, but it kind of drove home, you know, this week some of that, you know, to think that 2,500 cows would take 2,500 rounds, and there are thousands of cows up there. And he said that his buddy had dead cows on the fence line as they ran away from the fire, and they all piled up on the fence line, and a lot of them were burnt on their sides and all over them, and they were wandering around the field. They were pretty much the walking dead cows, you know, because they hadn't died yet. They were burnt, they were hurt, and so you drive around putting them down, you know, and then the next phase comes with cleaning up. Right, clean. You know, how much diesel are you going to take? You know, is there insurance for that? That's an act of God. They don't pay that kind of. So if it's real, oh, holy hell, right? But that's part of farming, I guess. You know, you have 2,000 cows. You know, that's what? That's a lot of money, right? They all calf, and then all of a sudden, you double your money after a little bit, and there's a lot of math in there. But then you can lose them all in a heartbeat, and that's always been there.
That's a very important point, in that in order to replace that many cows will take a long time, because you know, you have to reproduce and reproduce and reproduce to get to those numbers. They just don't, you know, double when they drop out.
Right.
That's a very serious problem.
I don't know.
It's hard to know, because we had that dairy fire about this time last year, or whenever it was. Maybe it wasn't this time, but about a year ago, where there were thousands that died during that dairy fire up in the Dalhart area, wherever it was. And
there's
so it's obviously something nefarious going on. And the fire itself was just completely out of control. It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't really speak to exactly what happened, but if I go with my gut says there's something seriously wrong about it, whether it was, you know, the weather modification that created those high winds, and normally blowing out of the west, going to easterly, west to east, I should say. And then just in a matter of minutes, it went from west to from the northeast. It was just very strange. We got heavy, I know you guys don't want to talk about the geoengineering, but we had heavy,
oh, I love
heavy,
talking about it.
Yeah, I would like that.
Geoengineering the day before. And I mean, where it was blue sky, well, air quotes, blue sky. And then within a matter of hours, it was completely grayed out. from horizon to horizon. And I live in flatland, so you can see a long ways. And it was all completely grayed out. And then we had 89 degree temperatures, so it got really hot. And the it was down to about, 10 or 12% humidity.
Yep.
And then all this happened. So it was just the perfect setup for it to happen. And, you know, on the one hand, you could say, well, act of God. But on the other hand, based on what I know, I would say geoengineering. And the winds that came out of the Northeast were just tremendous.
I'm sure you're outside quite a bit, I can remember, I used to do construction, putting in water and sewer lines, a lot of days I'd spend in a ditch, grading sand in the bottom of a ditch, laying a sewer pipe in there, and you're standing in a ditch, looking up for the next load of sand to come down on you, I noticed what was going on in the skies, and I noticed several things. Can I prove that's exactly why, when there was a crosshatch pattern up north of us, at low level, not high level, but low level crosshatch patterns, real thick. And what was it, like the next day we got like, in the next 3 days we got like 13 inches of rain, can I say that that's exactly what caused it? No, but, you see patterns, and you can't help if you've got a brain, to see patterns and make connections. Can I prove it? Unfortunately, no.
Well, that brings up another question. So what do you think about when they do the big X in the sky? You see a lot of going back and forth and patterns, whatever, but what do you think when it seems like they purposely will put a big X up there as well? Have you noticed that?
Marks a spot. I've seen them three times. I've seen them make circles in the sky.
How about steering? Because, moving weather from one place to the other, they might be creating, different atmospheric pockets, that will affect the direction as something or other goes. I don't know what kind of fronts they make up new stuff nowadays, but, an X would be good for that, a focal point.
Well, I stumbled onto something just by accident. I was reading some stuff and some PDF somebody had sent me, and it mentioned something that I wasn't aware of previously, and that is that the X in terms of like SEAL team whatever means the kill zone.
Very possible.
So
there's another thing, as we get to and Chance, hang on the line there. We're going to get to you really quick here. But the eclipse is coming up, and there's several X's in Texas that were from the last three
eclipses.
All
my X's are in Texas.
Yeah, isn't that funny? And so they say that the eclipse is an A. There's all this symbology involved with the latest eclipses. And so there's two X's in Texas, and it forms an A. And so they go, oh my God, an A and an X, but whatever. People get all freaked out over everything. But since we were bringing up X's, and why did Elon call his company X? He's taking advantage of that, right?
Exactly.
I couldn't trust that guy farther than I could throw him, and he's a pretty big guy. So I'm probably not throwing him. Huh. Did I say I don't trust Elon? Yeah.
Well, that's part of the reason why I brought it up, because, the X is in the sky, him changing that to X. I mean, of all things to call it, that's kind of odd. I've kind of been scratching my head on that for a long time. Mm-hmm. So many different things. And, it has other occult significance as well. But, since Chance is waiting, I don't want to keep him hanging on too long. I'll drop off. But just wanted to chime in and chat with some fellow Texans and chew the rag a little bit.
Definitely appreciate the conversation. Thank you, my friend.
Have a good one.
Sir.
See you, bye.
Okay. Take care. Hey, Sam wanted to bring this up. B-17 doesn't have arsenic, but it does have a little cyanide. So, you know, we got that a little bit off. Arsenic, no, it doesn't exist in B-17, but cyanide does. So, yeah, maybe. Whatever. Interesting stuff, huh? Chance, let's go to you. We got a few seconds before the break comes in. How are you?
Good morning, guys. You know, your previous caller mentioned schools. Did you ever think that we would sit around at our ages talking about things like this? Think about it. I mean, this is why I feel like Alan does. Now, here we are in our 60s, right? This is a time where we should be more at ease with things because, you know, we're nearing the end, let's face it. And here we're sitting about, we're talking about all these whacked out things. This is how society has become. I mean, I find myself now, and this is where I can relate to you, Alan, I'm more comfortable being alone now. And I never thought I'd say that because I'm more or less a people person, you know? But the world has gone so freaking nuts that I don't know. Do you feel that way, Alan, too? I'm sure you do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I was a bartender, you know, for 10 years at one place, you know? Had a bunch of, my regular clientele, you know, some of them were doctors and lawyers and stuff, you know? They had cabin cruisers on Beaver Lake, you know? I'd get invited to go out, you know, because I knew where the fish were, you know. We'd go out in our cabin cruiser and spend a weekend on the lake, and you know, and go out and catch stripers and stuff, you know. No, I used to have lots of acquaintances, you know. I was
too.
Very social
me
person.
Too. Me yeah. too, plenty. And now, I'd say they're all fair weather acquaintances. I find myself cutting people loose now because of the drama. You have to walk on eggshells and watch everything you say. If you say transgender, let me bring something up crazy, I'll say, well, my cousin's a trans, you know, this kind of crap. That's, oh, God, I can't take all this drama. I'm too old for this crap. I don't want to hear this. You know, you find yourself, if my family, all my family has passed away, right? I'm the only one left. I mean, they all would be shocked at what's going on today. Even the liberal ones, they would be shocked. Wow, how did we get this far? Things are nuts. And this is why I guess people call talk radio, because it's like, quote-unquote, the last neighborhood in the world. Think about it. And that doesn't say much for society, because if they don't have a healthy social life. But who the hell has a healthy social life nowadays? Everybody's running scared. Everybody's so insecure that you find yourself saying, oh, man, I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be alone. I can't take this crap, man. And I never thought at my age that I would feel this way. That's the kicker. I says, wow.
No, Chance, one of the things I really miss is what used to be called human interaction. When you might use a phone, and it's like, hey, you want to go fishing tomorrow morning? All right, be at my place at 4:30, you know? And that was about the extent of the conversation. Then you spent all day on the water with them, and you went out and you fished and you talked, and you weren't on your smartphone texting and emailing and everything. You actually interacted together all day long. Or you went to dinner with someone. You actually sat at a dinner table and you talked with each other and you had a good meal and then you played cards afterwards or something, you know? Doesn't happen no more.
No, it's
very little.
When I go into town and I do my chores, I talk, and, you know, I make people laugh. That's how I am, okay? But it's a momentary thing. I can deal with it. I don't dare get any closer because I know I'm going to hear some whacked-out crap. You know what I mean? I know it's going to be a disappointment in the long run. So, don't, you know, keep it on one level and don't go any further. That type of attitude, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Hang on, Chance. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. Will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at Kettle Moraine, LTD at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
So here we fight all through the night.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. All right, Chance. Well, I don't know what to say, man. We are where we are.
So. Yeah, well, see, that's why I laugh when they say the golden years, right? Maybe years ago you could say that, but you can't say that anymore. You know, we've all had bad habits or did things we shouldn't have done years ago when we were younger, right? But now as we age, we could teach somebody how we went wrong, and to warn them not to do certain things that we did, right? Because we're more settled down now. Well, what the hell? You can't talk to anybody anymore. And I think that's why they want us dead, us people in our age bracket. I really do believe that, because they see that we've learned, and we're more settled down now. We're in a position where we could teach other people through experience. And I think, hey, jab them up now. jab them up and slab them down, because now they're in a position where they could teach other people. See, I used to get, when I first started feeling this way, you start getting lonely. I don't feel lonely anymore. I find more peace being alone now, and it's not because I'm unsociable. It's because the world has gone so freaking crazy that you just don't know how to deal with most people anymore. People have hung on to, have you seen lately the insecurities in people that they hide? But they eventually come out. And I have to tell them, I say, hey, look, man, this is too much drama for me. I'm too old for this. You got to handle your own problems, man. You know, I can't deal with it now. You know, I'm too old for this crap. And you find yourself thinking that continuously. That's why it's more of a bother now, to be honest with you, to be around most people. I hate to say that. It sounds like I'm unsociable, but I'm really not. My problem was I was
too sociable. I think we go through times in our lives, and, you know, all things change. People annoy me, and I love being with people all in the same, but you might be onto something. Alan, any thoughts?
I almost find more peace. I've got two deer I've raised. One of them still comes in the house, the little one. I can go out with my deer herd, and I almost feel more connection with them because we understand each other. Even we were totally different species. I almost feel like I understand them more than I do most of the people around me. You know, yeah, I understand their body language, their communications. I can hear their little grunts and squeaks. They do them in their families. You know, I understand, you know, the social grooming, you know, the licking, and, you know, between the herds and everything, between family members. I almost find more peace with them than I do mostly with people nowadays. But, I understand. I know
here,
what Chance
Alan,
is talking
you know,
about.
I see the sincerity. I see the realism in them. I don't see that in people. I noticed how people, rather than look at you, they look through you. It's like everybody's cautious of everybody. I says, wow, this blows my mind, man. This is very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable situation.
Well, most of society, you know, we've been indoctrinated. I say we as a general society that, you know, everyone you come in contact with is going to lie, cheat, and steal from you.
Yeah.
So don't feel bad about lying, cheating, and stealing from them, you know. Honesty is out the window. Integrity is out the window. You know, just rape and pillage, you know, basically.
Well, see, and I take another tack. Rather than lie, cheat, and steal, I just avoid them now. Like I say, getting older, I never thought I'd be in this position. You know what I mean? At this age, I'll be 64 next month. I never thought I'd be in this position, but yet here I am. But what I could say now is, for myself, I'm more at peace being alone because I just can't take the crap no more. Like I said, you never know who you're talking to anymore. They might appear to be nice and friendly, but you find out they're so insecure in their own lives that it's bound to come out sooner or later. I've noticed this in so many people. And I said, wow, man, in a world that's gone nuts, I can't help these people with their problems. The best I can do is keep them the hell away from me.
They're not comfortable with themselves, Chance. That's why, you
exactly.
know, they've got that electronic, you know, communication with them all the time, you know. They never do any introspective looking or thinking, you know, who am I? You know, what am I? What is my life? Do I need to change? You know, they've all got that electronic device with them all the time now. And that's their recognition. That's who they've become.
Yeah, it's a weird world where we live in. It's a very, not only,
and I'm not saying, and I'm not saying there aren't people that do not use the technology, you know, responsibly, but for a majority of the population, no, they become digital morons.
I don't know. All I know is, like I said, I'm the only one left in my family. Everybody's passed away. If they were alive today, I think they would all say, wow, what happened? What happened with people?
All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Chance.
Okay.
You know, really appreciate it. We'll go back to the phones in a second. Hey, Chris from EaseOff called in, and it's a damn shame. I always wanted to talk to him. You know, the EaseOff guys are one of the sponsors that we have here on our network that are just amazing. You know, I they've lived in my head after the show and during the day, just thinking about the EaseOff drop and lift, right? I wanted to get a hook tumbler, right? Many a times while I'm working on some damn job, and I'm like, well, if I only had a hook tumbler, then maybe I could fix it.
Kind of makes me wish I had a processing, you know, business.
Yeah, but Chris called in and he wanted to wish us a happy St. Patrick's Day, Alan. But he kind of left before we could get him on the air. But man, just appreciate you guys over at EaseOff. You know, Chris, you know, thank you very much. You've made me smile so many times that
I always like the flying pigs and cows too.
Oh, yeah. Makes pigs fly. Cows, too. Moo. Oh, well. Okay. Jerry in Chicago. Let's see if you can, you know, one-up that one. How are you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. And I heard you talking about the Laetril. You get them out of Brazilian nuts, and the rule of thumb is you eat one nut for every 10 pounds of your body weight a day. And that will help you reduce your chances of getting cancer, or if you have cancer, maybe bring it down a little bit.
I've known people that have gotten dried apricot seeds, you know, and you know, I guess they're dried enough to where you can kind of crunch them. You know, it's just kind of I don't know what it tastes like. I don't think I've ever eaten one, but I know people who've gotten, you know, apricot seeds and done the same thing.
Oh, okay. I've got dried apricots at home, too. Sometimes when I have cereal and raw milk, I kind of like to eat that every once in a while.
Well, this, you know, it's in the pit itself. It's not in the fruit, but, you know, it's in the pit.
Oh, you know what? I have heard of that before.
Yeah.
But, man, how the hell do you chew those?
I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm not crunchy granola, but you know.
Well, maybe you should like grind them up into a powder and add them to like bread and call them fiber.
Put them in your smoothie.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. What would you think we would have to do to those? Dehydrate them first and then grind them into powder?
I don't know. I have no idea where they got these, but you know, I'm sure they probably found them somewhere on the internet and ordered them. But and then are they organic or not? You know, who the hell knows? But
yeah, there's a lot of things on the internet, right?
Hey, I have another question for you. Have you ever heard of the a guy by the name of Maurice Strong?
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Okay. All right, then you guys know that little story. I mean, he drops out of high school in Canada at 14 years old, and he gets 44 honorary PhDs over the next over the rest of his life.
Some amazing stuff in history. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he bought that whole valley in Colorado. He bought that whole valley, and it was, and they had like a Buddhist section and a Hindu section. And I actually met a guy that was from Colorado that did solar panel stuff, and he actually got called out. He said, "Yeah, I got called out to this place in this valley in Colorado," and he said it was really strange. And I said, "Would that be Maurice Strong?" And he looked at me like, "You know who he is?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "So that's a real thing?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, did you take the job?" He said, "No." He said, "Man, that place was weird." He said, "I declined the job. You know, they were wanting some kind of solar, you know, systems put in." And he said, "No." He said, "No, I just found that a little too strange."
Wasn't that over an aquifer, and it was approximately 12 square acres?
It was bigger than that. He basically, from what I understand, bought a whole valley somewhere up in the mountains in Colorado, and had this little kind of the one world religion type commune up there or something.
Yeah, he was a big one with the with that one world order stuff. He had something going on in 1980 with the Tavistock Institute, and they laid out the format for what you see today. I mean, rap music and Oprah Winfrey promoting interracial marriages and youth rebellion and transgender and all of this other stuff. They talked about this and planned for it back in the 80s. He was also like a chairperson for the Committee of 300. He was on the 1001... got the globalist, he was a member of that. I mean, this guy, I think he got kicked out of the UN back in 2004, moved to China, and then I think he died in 2015. So, and I think he was a Rothschild cutout. They offered him some money, like a Bill Gates or, you know, some of these other guys. But anyway,
Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, he's in that class, yeah.
Okay, there was a guy on rent for 1 hour this past week. I think it was Thursday. Actually, it was Wednesday night, I believe. And his name was Professor Eric Carlson out of Creston, Colorado. And he did a whole lot of research on Maurice Strong.
Yeah,
so him and Rents were comparing notes on these two, and they did a 20 or 2 minute clip about this Tavistock Institute and what they talked about at this meeting in 1980, and it was 2 minutes, and I jotted down a bunch of notes, and I need to listen to it again to get the rest of the notes, because everything they talked about is happening now 44 years later.
And Tavistock, my friend, has been involved long before that. That is like the granddaddy of these globalist think tanks. I mean, you know, or psychological manipulation of society, whatever you want to call, you know, what they do.
Well, when I first started listening to Alex Jones, I believe it was the Bilderberg meetings were the cream of the crop. Because I don't think
that is a high level organization. It's just one of them. The Committee of 300, the Black Nobility, Tavistock. I mean, you know, they take different aspects of global control and they work on promoting them. And it's been in play a long time, my friend. Much earlier than the 80s. Much earlier.
Okay. Well, hey, that's all I wanted to cover. You guys get on to the next caller. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Well, that's funny. The phone lines just cleared. It is funny how far back this thing is and how far ahead, you know, that we are now when you deal with Strom and all that. Hey, one drops, another one comes on the line. This guy's coming up here in about 10 minutes. So let's bring him on early. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I was just listening to you as I was getting ready. And, yes, that Maurice Strong, what a character he is. And it was significantly more property that he owned. And his goal, as they found out, was to purchase all the private property and rangeland over what is the largest aquifer out there in the Midwest, and was part of a long-term plan to basically shut the tap off and begin charging exorbitant prices, you know, as part of this whole transitioning people out of the countryside. It is going to make it cost prohibitive for farmers or even residential situations to even afford water. So, yeah, he was tapped into the largest freshwater aquifer in the country. And he was looking to control and own that.
Restrictions on drilling permits and putting a meter on the wells that are allowed to be drilled, so they can meter and everything. Yeah, control, my friend. It's all control. Yeah.
Is that anything like the commune or the resort that they went to in Atlas Shrugged the book? What do you think, Dave?
I don't know. I mean, but I'll tell you what, though. This is... it's very telling, and we should always be aware now, because they're after those natural assets, those things that we need for day-to-day life, and water is one of them. You will always see water as part of the formula for their control when it comes to land use. And this year, we're just very lucky that they got on to him and what he was doing. Otherwise, that could have been a very bad situation. Look what they did when they shut the water off there because of that Delta smelt. You know, a little shiner in what they did there. So, that was much more significant than just a few acres. That was many, many hundreds, even thousands of square miles of land that was taken up. But we just barely missed out there. It's a good thing that we caught on to them. But expect more of it. They never quit.
And you know, hey, how about this? You know, we talk about food and water all the time, but what do we need even more regularly than that? You don't live very long without air. You know, it goes back to geoengineering once again. You know, what are they doing to our air?
Well, there's that carbon problem too. You know, we are made of carbon. The war on us.
We are the carbon they want to eliminate.
So, what you talking about today, there, bud?
Oh, boy, I think this week we're going to be talking about cannibals and victory gardens. This is the theme of today's show. We're going to cover some news and current events in the first hour, and we're going to jump into the first of a series of shows and discussions about our victory gardens. But I don't want to eat up
Dave,
the rest of your time.
Your
I thank
group,
you guys for taking my
Dave,
call.
Has your group
and,
made it to the end of the board?
It's always
here
a pleasure
Texas
to you guys get
point.
Them warmed up on Sunday and get them in a good mood, and you make it easy for me, that's for sure. You guys have a great show.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in and clearing that stuff up with, Maurice Strom. You know, it's, totally fascinating, all the little, pieces. And you've known about Maurice Strom since, like, for how long, Alan? Is that from Arkansas?
Since I became aware of what he was doing and actually knew the name, maybe 16 years ago, something, 18, I don't know,
years.
You know, and the learning process, he used to be talked about a lot more back when he was, more active, but,
16 years ago.
No, he's a Canadian. He was in, good with Grove Brundtland, who, authored the, what was known as the Brundtland Commission Report or Our Common Future. And it's where the term sustainable development was coined. So he's like one of the socialists in cahoots with Grove Brundtland and the rest of that unholy group of people. But thanks a lot. You guys have a great rest of your show, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for taking the call.
Man. All right.
I'm sure Maurice was probably friends with Elon Musk's grandfather, because he started up
the technocracy.
And ran, Yeah, the technocracy movement in Canada. So I'm sure he was good friends with Elon's grandfather.
Oh, yeah. The technocracy movement was huge, huge. You know, I was around here in Fredericksburg and Kerrville when all the technocrats started dying. And you know how we could see when all the technocrats were dying is when their books were showing up in the thrift store. Before I'd go a booking, and you go around looking for books, and all you could see is these books about technocracy about 10 years ago. And I think that was when a lot of the technocrats or the, you know, used books are really fascinating. And to see the genres of people as they pass on.
Yeah, well, you know, folks, Steve, on one of his, you know, little book trips, found me, he's the one who gave me my copy of Morals and Dogma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing what you can find in the thrift store. Hey, I wonder if Dave's going to talk about the cannibal restaurants. You know, there are cannibal restaurants in the world, Alan, where they serve
I've
humans?
I've heard about those, yeah. Out in California and some places, yeah.
You know, because the question does come up, why did they popularize the, you know, warlord named Barbecue over in Haiti? Huh. It's like, okay, so they let it out. They kind of, like, squirted it out through X and said this. And I actually had a normie bring it up to me. Right, and I guess they wanted to, you know, tell me about it. And they said, "Hey, you hear they're eating each other in Haiti?" And I said, "What?" I said, "No, I didn't. Tell me more." And then he told me about some warlord, and his name was Barbecue. You know, when's the last time you've seen a fat Haitian? You know, and this guy really isn't fat, but. He doesn't look skinny, but, you know, when you're a warlord slash leader, you tend to get more stuff than most people. Right, Alan?
Once again, kind of starting to sound a little bit more and more like the Turner Diaries or even Stephen King's The Stand.
Well, maybe he's on the carnivore diet. I'm sorry, cannibal diet, right? He doesn't do gluten. Oh, that's so painful. You know, a friend of mine this week was telling me about that. He's going, well, I hope we don't resort to that. I'm like, well, it probably will collapse into that, but there's still a lot of animals and crops and stuff to go through. We don't live on an island. I mean, technically, we kind of do. If you talk about the place in North America that we are at, you know, there's the North, Canada and Alaska, where we have a hard time getting up in Canada and Alaska, and grizzly bears are still able to make a living up there. So it's, you know, wow.
Take care, folks.
Yeah, that's it. Hang in, listen to Dave. You know, he's going to be talking about good stuff coming up next. Republic of Texas Radio.
Just didn't kill each other. Instead, they gave with all that they had to give. Made sure that their brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.